a central part of what he called self-actualized individuals. He defined it as the capacity to appreciate again and again, freshly and naively, the basic goods of life with awe, pleasure, wonder, and even ecstasy, however stale those experiences may become to others. Medical doctors have found that when people consciously experience a felt sense of wonder, thankfulness, and appreciation for life, their parasympathetic nervous system increases. This is part of our nervous system that is responsible for relaxing and controlling stress and hypertension. Thankful people recover more quickly from surgery with fewer complications and even tend to live longer. So there's no doubt that thankfulness is a good thing for body and soul. But what if we're just not feeling particularly grateful at this exact moment in our lives? Many of us are still shaken from the presidential election and the daily announcements of ghastly additions to Trump's cabinet. Some of us are grieving the loss of a loved one. Others are in the grips of addiction or depression or grappling with anxiety. So the idea of cultivating our gratitude can seem a little bit improbable. It begs the question, though, is gratitude dependent upon a favorable external situation, or can we will ourselves to be grateful? Brother David Stindl-Rast is a Benedictine monk, contemporary mystic. He wrote a book called Gratefulness, the Heart of Prayer. And in it, he says, we notice that joyful people are grateful, and we suppose that they are grateful for their joy, but the reverse is true. Their joy springs from their gratefulness. If one has all the good luck in the world but takes it for granted, it will not give one joy. Brother David explains that gratefulness is more than a momentary emotion. It's a profoundly spiritual and powerfully healing state of being. And he defines that state as a feeling, a moral attribute, a virtue, a mystical experience, and a conscious act, all in one. Gratitude, he says, is a universal human experience that can be either a random occurrence of grace or an attitude chosen to create a better life. He tells the story about an exercise that one of his teachers had prescribed for him. For 1 year, said the teacher, I want you to write 2 notes of gratitude before you leave your room in the morning. Easy enough, thought Brother David, until the teacher added, and you have to experience the gratitude. So as a practice today, I want to invite us to experience gratitude. I thought we could begin by just lifting up this fellowship, what it means to us, and how important we know that it is to other people. So I'm going to get very practical for a moment, and I want us to consider that this fellowship is the result of countless hours of dedicated care and attention by hundreds and hundreds of people over the course of almost 60 years. Not only this physical space and our beautiful campus, but this community is the result of literally millions of hours of tending and care, mostly carried out by volunteers. It is mind-boggling to consider all of the meals delivered, all the potlucks, all the work parties, all the books that have been discussed, and the demonstrations that have been organized by all the various members over the years. And now, this institution continues to thrive today because of the love and tending that each one of you does. So indulge me in an exercise for just a moment. If you are a current board member of the board of directors, will you please stand up? They all came to the first service. There we go. And please stay standing, okay? If you are serving on the ministerial search committee, will you please rise? If you serve as a committee chair or you're heading a task force that doesn't want to call itself a committee, will you please stand up as you are able? Right now, if you are in the process of organizing an event or a program right now, please stand up. If you are a member of a committee or a task force, will you please rise? You see where this is going? If you have ever helped to build a home in Tijuana with Casas de Luz, will you please stand up? And now, if you have ever served on a board, on the board or a committee, been a committee chair, or spearheaded a major event or program, please stand up. If you have offered the gift of your musical talents, will you please rise? Or stand up a second or third time. Yeah, will you please sing for us? No. If you have served as an usher, a greeter, a worship associate, or have given a sermon here, will you please stand up? If you have taught religious education classes to children or teens or adults, will you please rise? If you have facilitated a sacred circle or a meditation group or a men's or women's or parents group, will you please stand up? If you have offered to host a fundraising event through Dining for Dollars or our annual auction, will you please rise? Great. If you've helped with our annual retreat at Camp de Benneville Pines, please stand up. If you are a staff member, Tracy, will you please stand up? Thank you, and Caroline, thank you. If you have flipped pancakes for breakfast, organized a luncheon, a potluck, or a party, please stand up. If you have come to a monthly work party and helped maintain our beautiful grounds, will you rise? If you have written a card or brought food or given a ride to somebody in this congregation, please stand up. If you have helped with the bookstore or the library, if you have sold tickets or taken tickets or helped direct parking for an event, please stand up. If you have ever swept the floor or stacked the chairs or washed dishes or wiped the tables, please stand up. Gotcha. All right. Take a look around. I'll bet many of you would have stood up more than once. Those left seated are new to us and have not yet been conscripted. Or they're just tired and would rather not stand up. So please, you may sit down now. Thank you very much. The point is that UUFSD is not the building. It's not this gorgeous campus. It's not the board, and it's not the minister. This fellowship is each and every one of you and your commitment that you make to one another. Each of you adds your unique color, flavor, and texture to the masterpiece that is this community. Each of your gifts is needed here. Your contributions are the mortar that holds the stones together. They are the nails that secure the frame, the foundation, the very bedrock of this life-sustaining community. Today, we are holding our annual gratitude fair after the service, so if you haven't already taken a look around at the tables, I invite you to do so and find ways to become immersed or immersed differently in our community. And every volunteer deed that you do is an act of love to this fellowship, whether you think of it that way or not. So with every dish you wash, with every weed you pull, you are saying to this congregation, in essence, I love you. Every time you type up the minutes from your committee meeting or compile your committee's budget request, you are saying, I love you, to the people who are sitting here with you this morning, including the visitors who have come for the first time. And with every effort of your time and energy, you are not only honoring the founding members and their vision for this fellowship, but you are helping to fulfill the promise to the people who will sit in this hall and worship together and sing hymns together long after you and I are gone. If you are somebody who has received meals or rides, if you have appreciated the beauty of these well-kept grounds or table decorations at a holiday party, if you have attended classes or enjoyed the choir's music, you are a part of the circle of gratitude as well. Deepak Chopra writes that every relationship is one of give and take. Giving engenders receiving, and receiving engenders giving. What goes up must come down, what goes out must come back. In reality, he says, giving is the same thing as receiving, because giving and receiving are different aspects of the flow of energy in the universe. And if you stop the flow of either, you interfere with nature's intelligence. We are interconnected in the great web of existence. All of us here, intertwined with one another, with the family of humanity, and with other living and non-living things. Physics is beginning to confirm what mystics have long known. At the most elemental level, we are energy and information, swimming in a sea of energy and information. We are all interconnected. Each movement and thought, and even our intentions, affecting the whole. Our lives are created and sustained by forces beyond ourselves. Surprising moments of grace appear, unearned, undeserved. The feelings of love that we experience with our beloveds rise unbidden like a tide that washes through us. The way I have come to understand it, the human heart is like a channel or a conduit, allowing love to enter and pass through us into the world. Our job is not to generate love like a factory, but rather it is to release all of the blockages within us that hinder the natural movement of love through us. And I know this is true. The more love we can receive, the more our capacity to extend love grows. The practice of gratitude helps to open and expand this channel. I know that in these precarious and uncertain times, we are going to be called upon to beam the powerful light of love like never before, in order to name and call out and resist racism, homophobia, ableism, Islamophobia, and the sheer greed that is threatening to trample the most vulnerable among us. We're going to need to open up our love channel like fire hose capacity, and we're going to need to do it together. So let us practice opening ourselves ever wider to the gifts of life here in this beloved congregation, this love laboratory. Let us each learn to see the miracles of grace happening around us every day, the ways that our life is supported and held together by the kindness and generosity of others. And may we be vigilant and watch for opportunities to jump in to life-affirming flow of giving and receiving. Because when we are so open, when we have learned to see properly the ways that our lives are held in a suspension of love, gratitude is the only possible response. In the words of the great mystic Meister Eckhart, if the only prayer that you ever say is thank you, it will be sufficient. May we drop to our knees in humble gratitude and say it together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you. Amen and blessed be. And now we're going to have a chance to practice this with one another in a ritual form. This communion is a moving meditation. It is a gesture of spiritual practice, the practice of giving and receiving, and the practice of gratitude. Any ritual is only as meaningful as you allow it to be for you. So I invite you to take this into your heart. and allow yourself to be affected by the exchange. In a moment, the ushers are going to be coming around with baskets with pieces of gluten-free bread. When you are offered the basket by your neighbor, take a piece of bread. Look into their eyes. Take a moment to simply be present to them. Honor the divine spark in them. And eat the bread. Then take the basket and turn and offer it to the person on the other side of you. And take your time with this. There's no rush. This is countercultural. But this is where we learn how to do this in the world. Nothing is more important. It's a ritual of appreciation of how we nurture and nourish one another in community. So as you enjoy the flavor and texture of the bread, consider the fact that it, too, is a gift of the earth. Sunlight and rain and soil and wind have worked together to create the nutrients that our bodies need. Our lives are nurtured and sustained by the earth and by one another and by the work of people we will never meet, thousands. Receive this miracle and allow gratitude to fill your being. We're going to remain seated. We're going to be singing our closing hymn, number 402. We're going to keep it going. So I invite you to join in or drop out, hum for a while if you'd like. While you're engaging with the basket and your neighbor, drop out and just allow people to sing to you. Let us begin.